In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 87. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Listen, the basic component of this podcast is to talk about the trade deadline, especially as it relates to the Red Sox and the Yankees. But we did want to just start out. Vin Scully didn't do Yankee games. He did Brooklyn Dodger games. He didn't do Red Sox games. But I, he, of course, passed away at the age of 94. This week. And for me, I just remember him first on the national broadcast. You're younger than me, John. I don't know if you remember like the Joe Garagiola, Vin Scully Game of the Week stuff. Like, you're too young for that, right?
Yeah. I don't remember that. I remember him doing the All-Star Games and World Series and that kind of stuff. But, you know, just his voice in general. You know, it's amazing that the guy, you know, basically, what, 67 years he was in broadcast?
67 years.
Yeah, and he was calling games in the 60s. I think he did a Super Bowl, like 1965 or something like that. He called the Super Bowl.
The bigs in 1950, yeah. And it, with Jackie Robinson.
Insane. To be able to be on your game like that long. You know, he stopped broadcasting Dodger games in, what was it now, 2016?
Yeah.
I believe, yeah. So it's surprising that it's been that long he's out. It doesn't seem that way, and he's kind of just been like, he's almost like Bob Barker. He kind of just disappeared, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Where'd he go? But unbelievable voice, and surely going to be missed. It's amazing. You won't be able to hear that famous Dodger voice.
There's two things I'll point out, and then we'll move on to the trade stuff. One is Tyler Kepner, who you know from the New York Times, wrote a piece in 2016 about this, and then he reprinted it when Vin Scully passed, and I talked about this on my daily radio show, Brian and Company on WTIC. Is that Kepner wrote about how all the young players in 2016, when they were on the road visiting the Dodgers, would find a way to go say like a hello and a goodbye and a thank you to him. And we give so much crap to the young players of the game in general and our young people in general for not respecting traditions and so on and so forth. And I just thought you should go find it and reread that piece, because it's just cool to see how he bridge the gap of generations, right? I mean, basically bringing, Jackie Robinson all the way through Bryce Harper. And that's one thing I think is worth looking at. And then Don Orsillo tweeted out, I guess when he was a Major League Baseball intern, he has a picture of him and Vin Scully. And then he has a picture of him and Vin Scully when he's with the Padres. And he basically said that, you know, everyone knows that Don Orsillo had a brutal breakup with the Red Sox. And he said that Vin Scully said to him, when he was trying to figure things out, he said, go to San Diego, they'll love you there too. And I just thought, I mean, I don't know why I get a little emotional, but like, that's just cool, because I mean, now Don's in winning Emmy Awards in San Diego, and those are the little things that you would never know unless somebody shared that story.
Yeah, it's amazing that, think of all the lives and broadcasting and just baseball and just sports and people in general that he's touched. And when you say that about the younger players, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, these younger players and players in general, you know, they're fans of the game too. You know, I'm sure they know who he is, and they've listened to him, most of them, and they, you know, it's just like, you know, they want to meet somebody. Like, I would want to meet him too, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you want to meet legends, and that's what he was.
I guess Bryce Harper's debut was Scully did the game, and Harper talks about keeping a copy of it because he mentions his dad and his family and all this stuff. It's just kind of cool. And so may he rest in peace. All right, let's talk about me. You know, I don't want to make transition out of sadness, so I'll just segue by saying this is Fan Base in Deep Dive into the Greatest Rivalry in Sports. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 87. Before we get to Red Sox Yankees, generally speaking, what did you think of the trade deadline? What sort of stuck out at you the most?
Oh, man, like exhale, really, right now. This has been probably one of the more crazy trade deadlines I can imagine. Obviously Soto. Everyone's talking about Soto. It is what it is. They gave up a lot to get him. They have control over him, like everyone knows, still after 2025. Padres are better for it. I mean, if you look around, the Phillies made some moves. They got, you know, Syndergaard, David Robertson, Brandon Marsh. The Mariners got Luis Castillo, which was, you know, the Yankees were looking at. Sneaky, the Twins get Michael Fulmer, Tyler Mahle, and Jorge Lopez. So, I mean, the Twins got sneakily really good. And, of course, you know, the Astros got Mancini, and they also got one of your guys, Brian, which I know you are not happy about.
No, that would be Christian Vasquez. And basically what I'll say is that the Red Sox did not move J.D. Martinez. They did not move Nate Eovaldi, and I love Nate Eovaldi. And obviously we knew beforehand that they weren't going to trade Xander Bogaerts.
But didn't see this coming, did you?
No, well, the thing is, I think that if I was going to try to look at it objectively, I think the front office was like, we are going to trade players, multiple players. And so when they thought they got decent value for Vasquez, a guy that they thought maybe they wouldn't re-sign, they took it because they probably assumed they were going to move multiple players. Now, the deals for JD and Eovaldi didn't materialize. So now you look at it and you're like, all you did was dump Vasquez, who was beloved, longest tenured guy on the team, and honestly should have been an all-star. Like, legitimately should have been an all-star. I mean, Trevino made it the team because of what he did in the first 2 months of the season. But, it, you know, Vasquez arguably had been a more consistent offensive player.
Yep.
And so what I would say is that I'm so disappointed because these two prospects, they're not even like the high-end prospects. If you think about it, now they didn't really improve their pitching at all, which is a problem, but who knows if they'll get Sale back. They got Eovaldi back. They get Waka back. You know, I mean, there's guys, I mean, there's people who are out. I mean, just remember, just by getting Devers back, they're better and they don't make a trade. Same thing
right.
with DeGrom in New York with the Mets. And so what I'd say is they got Hosmer, who's a legit first baseman,
right.
for free. They
yeah.
got for free.
Yeah.
And so they'll upgrade it first. Now, Pham is not an upgrade in the outfield, but he's depth. And so if you just keep Vasquez, you have Hosmer, and you get your pitchers healthy, you're a pretty good team.
Right.
But now I'm like, what the hell? They got a guy hitting 150 playing catcher, and they lost a guy that in my household was legitimately loved.
Right.
I mean, we love Christian Vasquez. It serves no purpose for me. And I know you and Matt Soroy is a producer, you know, make fun of me, but I am honestly considering dropping my tickets because it's like the only reason I keep my tickets is for the section because they're good seats and because I know people in the section and we get to see them on opening day. But I can get tickets anytime I want because they never sell out.
Right.
And so what's the point of having season tickets?
Especially if you can get them. That you said it right there. If you can get them, and that's just it shows you what other fans are saying too. You know,
I mean, what do you think the Red Sox are doing? Like from where you don't really.
Well, I was just about to say I feel like it looks like they're hot and cold on it. It looks like they got better, but they didn't get better. You know, like they got better in a way because they got someone like Hosmer, but then they get rid of a staple like Christian Vasquez, who, like you said, was should have been an all-star, and they piss off their fan base. So, you know, it's like hot and cold. Like they walk in a fine line, and like we said before, you know, they probably aren't going to make the playoffs anyways. I mean, but it's like they're standing pat. In a way, they're kind of just there and hoping that Sale will come back. I don't.
So you don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused. Much like I'm confused why the Yankees traded Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader. You know, I mean.
Well, let's talk about that then. Again, so basically, the bottom line is that I'm just not excited about the Red Sox because I mean the players that I like, there's only like. Let's face it. I mean, and I don't even know if they're going to keep Bogaerts. If they get rid of Bogaerts, I'm done. I mean, I am legitimately
Yeah, Hitman Pham, though. Hitman Pham. You'll be all...
Fantasy Pham is my favorite. That's my favorite nickname.
We'll see how he pans out, man. It'll be interesting. But yeah, Harrison Bader and for Jordan Montgomery, a lot of Yankee fans scratching their head on this one. And, you know, Cashman's saying that, you know, and a lot of people are saying, you're going to love Jordan Montgomery. I was listening to the radio this morning and people calling in from St. Louis, you know, not happy that he's leaving because he's such a good player.
That Bader's leaving?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, good player, you know, kind of like Eric Burns type player, right?
Yeah, remember Eric Burns? He's not that good. I mean,
yeah, I mean, he's exciting, electric, you know, you hear all the words, but he's also hurt, you know, and he's probably not coming back until September. So, you know, I don't see why you got rid of a pitcher who's a lefty, who's been homegrown and he's been playing, pitching reasonably well, and he's doing what he needs to do. Let's put it that way. Well, I almost feel like there's something else going on, like how he questioned Boone the other time when he came out to get him on the mound, and he was pissed off at the reporter for sticking the mic in his face, and he's been kind of crappy in his last few outings, like leaving early in the game. So, I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scenes? It's just a head scratcher, is all I'm saying. I feel
so
like there's more to
it. There might be a non-baseball reason.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. I feel like there's something more to it, and I'll say that. Yeah, probably
no,
more.
No, that's what
it.
You get. You got to take a stand, John.
Yeah,
that's
I think it's a non-baseball reason. Just from what I said, you know, he kind of, in a way, everything's under the microscope in New York. We know that, right? And they got caught on camera saying, "Why are you taking me out?" And then he kind of has a couple of crappy outings, and he was pissed off at the reporter. Who knows? Maybe he mouthed off before. Maybe it just seems weird that the Yankees are doing so well, and then they go into this little bit of a funk, which, you know, every team that's good usually has. The Yankees in 98 played like crap leading up to the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
So it is what it is, but I feel like they're making a lot of changes, right? You know, they get Frankie Montas, and they get Andrew Benintendi, and they get Efras, and then they, you know, it's just, and they get rid of Gallo, you know, which is great, but it just seems like you're messing with something in pieces that I'm just not understanding.
Here's
you're losing a starter, and you're gaining a guy who's injured, and you really don't know what you're going to get with him, right?
Right.
I'm scratching my head on that one.
Here's what I would say, because from my perspective, not being a Yankee fan, it's really interesting and insightful that you mentioned some off-the-field stuff or some non-baseball-y stuff, because after you get Benintendi, you don't – even if Bader's a good ad, to dump a legitimate, lively left – handed pitcher is insane to me.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like a head scratcher. It's crazy, because even if he's a number three or number four starter, he's a lefty and he's stayed healthy and he's been pretty good. And so I would be like, what the hell are they doing? So if he pissed Boone off and Boone is like, I know you just, he's been a cancer in the clubhouse. You got to move him, and they can get a guy who the fans will like, will give you depth, because everybody gets hurt. You know, I'm not saying Benintendi's going to be Jacoby Ellsbury, but I mean, who knows?
Right.
And so, but from any other perspective, it makes no sense, because they just got an all-star from Kansas City in Andrew Benintendi. So I find that to be really interesting that he's had some issues over the last little stretch of time. That's really interesting. Okay, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We're breaking down the trade deadline. So I guess, you know, you talk about how basically the Yankees are 500 in the last week or two, and they still have a double-digit lead in the East. I don't think that's in jeopardy. I do want to point out one other team, because they're ahead of the Red Sox in the standings. If I were a legitimate fan of the Baltimore Orioles, I would be furious. And I know that they got a lot in return, but if they are legitimately in contention to make a wild card. And a wild card, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not a one and done anymore. So if you make it, you have a chance to get at least a home date and make some more money. And they're only a couple games out of the wild card, and they get rid of arguably their fan favorite in Mancini and some other pieces. And I was sad for Orioles fans to go through what they've gone through the last few years, and then to finally be decent, and then to have the management say, you know, this isn't our time. It's not on schedule, so we're gonna load up some more in the minors.
Yeah, I don't see where a team like the Orioles, who have been, you know, not good for a while, you know, and have been reaping the benefits of getting good draft picks and, you know, hopefully developing their minor league system, would take that approach, what you're talking about. It's just, it puzzles me, you know, a fan favorite like Mancini, who everybody knows, if you don't know his story, battled cancer and came back, and, you know, just an amazing story and a great player.
And wanted to be there,
and they love him there. And, you know, why would you need to get rid of him? And then, if you watch the Yankees in the Orioles at all, you know, Jorge Lopez is a very good pitcher. You know, a lot of people were after him, right? A lot of people were trying to get him. And, you know, when you have a piece of the puzzle like that, you know, and you're a game and a half out as we speak now on this broadcast, a game and a half out. So I don't understand. Again, like, you're scratching your head in Baltimore, you're scratching your head in New York, you're scratching your head in Boston. I guess the only place you're not scratching your head is San Diego. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it is.
And wait, you're scratching your head in Los Angeles because you got Joey Gallo for your number 15
though,
prospect.
I ended up feeling bad for him. I think that you might have sent it out, or Matt, in our little text chain. you know, like he couldn't even really go out and about in New York.
Yeah.
Maybe part of that's him and he got it in his own head.
And he's just weird. Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
It is sad. And you don't ever want to see anybody deal with stuff like that because then it starts banging on your head and we know all, you know, what can happen there. It's just... It was time for him to move on. And it's just sad the way it came about. It's just, you know, you saw it coming, you saw it coming. And it was just basically like he just had his stuff slowly packing up, knowing that he's going to be gone on August 2nd. It's just crazy. And I don't have to shave my head.
That's true. That is off the table. You know, and I don't know if he'll help the Dodgers. I don't know why they did it. I mean, what is he going to?
And I believe they're actually paying the rest of his salary, so he's probably gotten about, you know, $2 million left on the deal for the year, because I think he's making around $11 million. So
the Yankees are paying it?
No, I think the Dodgers are.
Oh,
yeah.
They picked it up?
And, yeah, I believe so. I didn't read anything differently, but if I did, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think he'll be on the Dodgers postseason roster. I mean, he could be, you know, designated for assignment, and someone else could grab him along the way. I just don't see, you know, the Dodgers love picking people up. They grabbed Pujols last year, right? So it's just...
Maybe they'll catch, you know, lightning in a bottle, or the DH side of things is possible.
Well, I'd say it would be to complement Belly's terrible batting average, but they're both lefties, so I'm scratching my head there too. So,
yeah. So let's go to the standings then, as we wrap things up and sort of handicap post, because you talked about the Padres, who really don't have a chance, in my opinion, to catch.
It's basically like the same as the AL East, you know, 11 to 12 game lead as we talk.
But firmly entrenched in the wild card. And the thing about that's really interesting about the Padres is that they still haven't had a day of Fernando Tatis Jr. in the lineup. So
and he should be back. Soto, he'll be back in a couple weeks, I believe.
Right. If you had Soto and Tatis Jr., all of a sudden they're scary. And I'm kind of amazed because I think after. To be quite honest, after the Yankees and the Astros, I think there's a lot of just above-average teams in the AL, whereas in the NL, I think there are some legitimately – I mean, you talk about the Braves. You talk about the Padres, the Dodgers. I mean, the Mets, if you have Scherzer and DeGrom healthy, I think that the NL has – you know, legitimately four teams that could be the best team in the American League, in my opinion. And I'm still not a huge believer in the Yankees for some reason. I don't know why. It's not just because I'm a Red Sox fan. Every time I see them against the Astros, it makes me wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I mean, they're the team to beat. The Astros are the team to beat. So until someone beats them, you know. Listen, the Yankees, everybody, they were riding so high all year, and they're playing, you know, they're playing 500 ball, basically, in the month of July. So it is what it is. Everybody goes through a down stretch, so you hope they figure it out, and you hope they get Stanton back healthy, and you hope this Bader dude figures it, comes back, and is an impact down the stretch. But injuries, foot injuries for guys that play with speed are not good. So I don't know. It's plantar fasciitis. They say he'll be back by September, so we'll see.
All right, well, listen, that's it. What an exciting trade deadline.
Crazy.
Frustrating for both of us to some degree. Jordan Montgomery was the problem for you, and to me, Christian Vasquez just, you know, saddened me, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if anything comes more of Jordan Montgomery. But, you know, knowing Yankee Nation is just going to kind of go whoosh to just disappear.
Just move forward, move on.
Keep the train moving.
You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.